And time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is joined tonight by technical editor, Kira Pace, and Professor Emeritus Gregarious, Laurie Fisher. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend. It turned a little bit cold, but that's okay. And we also hope you're gearing up for Valentine's Day. I'm sure your significant other will be expecting a great gift from you. You can bring them down and have them watch the show. That would be a great gift.
No, they can't. No? Can they? I don't know.
Maybe.
That'd be a good thing to auction off.
Hasn't been a lot of demand for it, but you never know.
Now there will be.
You can create it.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight and participate. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free. Yes, there is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Maybe we can give you some hints on what to get for Valentine's Day as well. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, so that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but they all get read, so don't worry about that. If you have any comments or suggestions, anything like that, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like to get a podcast of the show, which should be available reasonably soon after the program ends tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. We're going to start with a round of introductions. I also want to remind you, you should call as quickly as possible because sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call soon, we will get you on. And two numbers, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. As I said, we're going to start with a round of introductions, and here's the first. Kira Pace is relieved to learn that PETA, I really should have read this first. Kira Pace is relieved to learn that PETA Taufa-u-fa-lua. I don't know what that is. Oh, okay. There's a handy pronunciation here.
Absolutely. I'm not sure.
Tofa-tofu-a has been supplied with shirts for the rest of his time in Pyeongchang. Okay.
It's only funny if you know he's the Tonga flag bearer.
Oh, that's it. Oh, I saw him. I did see him all oiled up
half,
the other day.
Half naked.
Yeah, top half naked.
Yeah, he'd be a big hit in San Francisco.
I think he's a big hit every place.
Is he?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Is he actually participating?
He is. He is second. I could tell you, but then I'd have to replace that question with another question that you'd hate even more.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It looks like we're having some Winter Olympics previews.
Yes, but he is the second Tongan ever to compete in the Winter Olympics.
He could do the luge, but he could just go straight on his...
That's what the first Tongan did.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He wouldn't need anything underneath him.
He would not.
No.
He's well greased.
Okay.
All right, so Laurie Fisher wants to thank our astute radio audience for wisely deciding to both listen and watch Minds Over Matter, rather than stay riveted to the agonizingly tense luge and curling competitions currently going on in Pyeongchang.
Mm. We're all recording them, I'm sure. That curling thing, I can just cut the tension with a knife.
And I like that in your introduction, you're also inviting people down to come watch the show. So.
I am. But just while they're on the radio, not actually to the studio. What do you give someone who loves you with all their heart? Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, can only answer am I not enough?
Yes. That's what I keep telling him.
Yeah. For one particular audience member, I believe. I hope.
Right. Anyway, we will begin with Kira Pace.
All right. So I think you know where I'm going.
All loose.
I've got two questions on subjects that that Dana hates. So
excellent.
let's start off with this is PETA Taufa Tofua's second Olympics. He competed in the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio and is now in the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. What are his two Olympic sports?
So I have a question. Is mm-hmm. he the first athlete to appear both in the Summer and Winter Olympics?
No.
Oh, is that many people do that?
Not many, but
Because obviously it's two different sports.
It's
okay,
yeah.
You want both the
summer sport and the winter sport.
And she hinted that it wasn't the luge.
It's not the luge.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to go bobsled on the winter.
Nope.
All right.
Is it a team sport?
No, individual.
Individual,
both.
Okay.
He looks very track and field, and of the two, he looks fieldish to me. Would that be fair? Like shot put, javelin, an individual thing that he shows his muscles?
No, it's, I believe it's closer to track.
All right. Mm-hmm. Would it be a track event? Like a running?
Oh, I thought you were talking about winter still. No, it's not. It's not track and field at all.
He wasn't a boy. No, he wasn't a weightlifter. Was he a weightlifter?
No, he wasn't.
Wrestler.
No, that's close. Mm,
close. Boxer.
Nope.
That's close to wrestling.
Equally close.
Equally
but
close.
But still not
All right.
correct.
And the winter, what would he do now?
Well, what winter sports do they have in Tonga? That would be my first question.
Not many.
He probably has to travel to do that.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Actually, he practiced using equipment with wheels because there's no snow.
So he needed wheels to do this.
Huh.
So there's skiing, there's snowboarding, and things like that. Those don't strike me.
All right. Read the question.
Do they have sledding in the Winter Olympics?
There's a bobsled.
Yeah.
But it's not, not bobsled.
And get the name right this time.
Oh, PETA Taufa Tofua's second Olympics. This is his second Olympics. He competed in 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio and is now in the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. What are his two Olympic sports?
And Lori?
I'm going to continue the Winter Olympic fest. I have a feeling Kira might know these too well.
Probably
I have
not.
Three first questions. In this current Winter Olympics, what kind of music is allowed for the first time in the competitive figure skating? That's the first question. Second question, in the 2014 Olympics, what event allowed women to participate in for the first time in Sochi? And the third question is, when were the first Winter Olympics held and where were they held? So I'm looking for what kind of music is allowed in competitive figure skating for the first time. In the Winter Olympics of 2014, women were allowed to participate in a certain event for the first time. And the first Winter Olympics, where and when?
Were the first Winter Olympics in either Switzerland or Austria?
No.
Garmisch?
Neither.
Okay. And, go ahead.
I think it was in France. The first winter was in France.
I just
don't remember.
Chamonix?
Yeah, Chamonix. I think it's pronounced and want to guess a year?
1904.
A little later.
No, it's the late 20s something.
1924.
24?
Get a bell on 20s? That one.
Okay.
Yeah. So Chamonix, France in 1924 were the first Winter Olympics.
And the other part...
The music question and the first women in the sport question.
This may be the thing I read in the paper the other day, that they're allowing you to play music during the skating pairs, and actually the singles too, I guess, that has lyrics to it.
That's the right answer.
And they never allowed that before.
They only allowed it in the exhibition, but they finally allowed it in the competitive. And the I don't know if it's the first one, but one of the first songs done yesterday was to a Beyonce song.
Oh,
so it was very interesting. So give yourself a bell.
How
on
long
that.
Till Celine Dion is?
Oh, it's
sings the Titanic
I would think the very next one.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And
okay.
Women,
was 2014? Was that snowboarding?
It was not.
Okay.
And the women were in that earlier, I think.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Sid. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So before the invention of color TV, 75% of Americans dreamed in black and white. that have gone down so much lower today that a lot of people dream in color. How many people still dream in black and white?
You mean you want a percentage, that kind of...
Percentage, yeah, approximately.
20.
Well, 75 before the invention, which I assume somewhere in the 30s.
I'll say 20%.
How many?
20.
Even less.
I'd say 5%.
A bit more. I'll give you the answer because it's...
7%.
12%.
All right.
Yeah, so that is negative, negative, negative. Okay. The other question is, as you know, alphabetical in English, it starts with A, it ends with Z. Actually, Z was not the last letter added to the English language. You know what letter it was?
No, it was...
let's see, it would probably...
Y?
Was it no.
Y? It could be W, too.
W?
No.
Q?
No.
B?
No.
Let's see.
It is kind of interesting. So you could leave that to the audience to come with it.
When you, do
it
you mean...
It's actually in the middle of... It is really closer to the beginning of alphabet than even the end or the middle.
Do you, okay. when you say the last one added, do you mean like it used to be the, alphabetically last, or do you mean that it was the
no,
most
the
recent letter?
No, the last letter added.
Is most it, recent
well,
letter.
Well, the last
added.
Alphabetical is Z. That we agree, all of us agree on.
Right.
Well,
Z
now
is
it
the
is.
Last one. But so that letter was added later after Z was established to be the last. But it was not added at the end. It is added somewhere in the middle.
Is it M or N?
No.
J.
You're right. You just said it.
Oh, Jay. Okay.
Jay. Okay. Very quick question. So something about Egypt. This very popular woman name in America is after ancient Egyptian name, which means water lily, which is also called lotus flower, but it's water lily. Do you know what name could be? It doesn't sound like water lily at all because it's Egyptian. What do you think?
Can you say it in Egyptian, or would that be too much of a hint?
No, actually, it sounds more like, you know, because the Hebrew took a lot of words from Egypt. It sounds more like Hebrew, but it is an Egyptian word. Water lily. And it's a pretty name. Very beautiful name.
Mm-mm. No.
I will give you. Susan.
Oh.
And the ancient Egyptian was Shinshin. Chusun. You know, C-H. Instead of S, you use S-H. So Susan comes from an ancient Egyptian word for water lily. Beautiful name. That's thank you very much.
Thank
good
you.
Information.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. This is from the National Retail Federation, and what I'm going to ask is, what are the 7 most common Valentine's gifts given in the United States? And the second part of the question, what are the 7 most common Valentine gifts given in the United States? And the second part of the question is, which ones are more bought by women than men? So what are the 7 most popular Valentine's Day gifts given in the United States? And of those 7, which are the ones that are bought more by women than men?
Do you want to go first?
Candy.
Flowers.
Flowers.
I'm going to go with lingerie. Undergarments, clothing.
Clothing.
Okay. And I'm going to say that's one bought more by women.
That is one.
Okay.
What about jewelry?
That is one of them as well. Not, but that's just one of the generic 7.
Correct.
Should we keep guessing or you want to leave?
No, you can keep guessing.
All right.
I don't think this part is going to be too hard.
Going out to dinner, that kind of deal?
Evening out.
Okay. Night out.
Okay. Any more? Anything else?
Are any of them inappropriate or would you get on your list that you were sharing before?
It's been so long since you've asked a porn question, I think is why.
Oh.
There's no porn on it.
And how long has it been?
It's been a few months.
We're overdue. So there's nothing...
I can tell by the tone of your voice you've been missing them, too.
Yeah, I mean, and the week you're not here, you haven't been listening.
Yeah.
All right, so we're missing...
Okay.
We have 5, right?
All right. I'm just going to go through the list because you got most of them here. It's greeting cards, candy, flowers, evening out, jewelry, clothing, and gift cards.
How about
the last one? Now, again, for the second part of the question... Which ones are more bought by women than men?
Let me guess, perfume or things that make people smell better.
No specific perfume on the list.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think probably the gift cards were bought more by women than men.
That is correct. Yes. So we have clothing and gift cards so far.
And we have six of the gifts, right? We don't have the seventh?
You have them all.
Okay.
He read them all.
I read them all.
I think the one he didn't... Oh, no. He said evening out.
Evening out, yeah.
Gift cards, jewelry, clothing, flowers, candy, and what am I missing?
Greeting cards.
Greeting cards. Oh, that's bought more by women.
That is correct as well.
And that's... Is that
it?
Is there more?
No, there's another one.
Is there one more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we say jewelry? Oh, no. You rejected jewelry.
Women do not. They cannot buy jewelry.
For themselves?
Not for themselves. Okay. Well,
there'd be a
person,
thing.
Okay. Or guy, or girl, okay. As the case may be. Okay.
All right.
So keep that in mind. There's a little more there. Second question. There's a long list, actually. It's probably about 8 or 9 of men who have appeared or starred in back-to-back Best Picture Academy Award winners. There's only one woman, and that woman is Meryl Streep. What are the two pictures, the two Best Picture Academy Award winners that she appeared in back-to-back? She's the only woman on that list.
Was she nominated both times for her acting in them?
Irrelevant.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to think if she was the star of them.
Yes, okay. She was nominated.
So...
Was one of them She-Devil? I'm just kidding. It was absolutely not.
Was she in that?
She was.
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know that.
So Meryl Streep
is... one of them Deer Hunter?
Deer Hunter is one.
Okay. Oh, maybe Kramer versus Kramer?
Oh, you got it.
There. Okay. Good work.
All right. I'm throwing you some bones from across the room.
Yeah.
All right. That was too easy. All right.
Just because we got it.
Who were the last three actors to win acting Academy Awards? And it could be in any acting category. Who were the last three actors to win acting Academy Awards and with a performance with no dialogue?
Oh, I don't even know the name of the guy from, what was it called, the actor, the French...
Roberto...
No.
Oh, no, I know. But he didn't
win. The artist, sorry.
He didn't win.
Oh, he didn't? Okay.
Yeah. No. Who were the last three actors to win acting Academy Awards, can be in any category, giving a performance with no dialogue?
And could they be women, or do you mean male actors?
Could be any
sex. Okay. So did Jane Wyman win one for Johnny Belinda?
She did. She's one of them. All right, good.
Did Marlee Matlin speak at all in Children of a Lesser God?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good guess. There's no silence. Oh, yeah.
So, once more...
They didn't speak at all.
The last three actors to win Acting Academy Awards could be any acting category, giving a performance with no dialogue. And...
This is a long shot. Did the guy who played Jack Nicholson's father in 5 Easy Pieces, he's in a wheelchair?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radio in the Cornell.
Hey, Big Radio.
Say, I've been listening to the podcast recently of the program, and the week that Dana was off, Lori sort of...
It just went all to hell, didn't it?
What?
The cat's away, the mice will play, so we can all call in sports and rock and roll.
Yeah, it was a good night, right?
But then last week, Lori asked a sports question, and Dana asked a rock and roll question. I'm kind of... confused.
No, I know. It's okay. Don't worry. It's not going to be a regular thing.
My work here is done. I've accomplished all I wanted to.
No.
Okay. I've got one of those, what do these people have in common questions?
Okay. All right.
The names are Robert Cook.
Cook.
All right. Levi Folk.
F-O-L-K?
Yes. Warren Jernigan. Jernagen. John Kissinger and John Moran.
Okay. Want to give us any hint? Or?
Well, it's for something that they did in 1898.
Oh. Something they did in 1898. Specifically in 1898. They all did it in 1898.
Yes.
And do they do it together?
Yes.
This This is like I've got a secret.
Was this some kind of exploration, kind of adventure-y thing?
No.
Okay. Was it some sort of world record type thing, like a stunt?
No.
Okay. They all did it together.
Were any of them kind of famous individually?
Or is this their collective work? Not that I'm aware of. They later were also sort of awarded or feted with an award in 1929.
Hmm. Is this in any way political?
No.
Okay.
1929. Does it have anything to do with the beginnings of motion pictures?
No.
And it was asked whether there was exploration involved. There's no exploration.
No.
Does this have to do with entertainment industry in some way?
It doesn't.
No.
So okay. It's neither rock and roll or sports. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, he didn't say sports. He didn't say sports.
I have a feeling it's not sports.
Is it sports?
No. Okay. How about it's related to the Spanish-American War.
All right. Mm-hmm. 1898. That makes sense. Were they involved in the siege of San Juan Hill, rushing up San Juan Hill with Teddy Roosevelt?
Well, they could have been, but that's not what this.
Did they all?
Oh, wait. Anything to do with yellow fever?
Yes.
They were guinea pigs for the yellow fever vaccine.
Correct.
Walter Reed was developing.
Well, that makes sense. With the credited with an award in 1929, I suppose that was a Nobel then?
Well, no, they received the Congressional Gold Medal that they've called the Walter Reed Medal.
They were soldiers who volunteered to be in the yellow fever experimentation program.
Exactly.
Okay. Did they die from the experiment?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, they all survived.
Matter of fact, they made a movie out of it called Yellow Jack with Robert Montgomery.
And who played Major Walter Reed?
Lewis Stone.
All right.
Nice.
You did well.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, one other quick question. I got another. It's a sort of a, what do these four movies have in common?
Okay.
The Ventilator.
The Ventilator. Okay.
Flybait.
Flybait?
Muttville Massacre. And Angels with Even Filthier Souls.
These are the only four movies Dana has never heard of.
Yeah.
That's what they have in common.
Mudville Massacre.
The Angels with Filthy Souls?
So are these are parodies of better of real movies? I mean, they're parodies of more famous movies, I should say.
Right.
Like Angels with Dirty Faces.
Right.
And so are these the ones they use with the dogs playing people?
No. I actually tried to watch one of those, Dana, from like 1930, and it was tough.
Oh, they're terrible because you feel bad for the dogs. You know, you're making them do all these things. But
Dana's you want more information than they're just satires of more famous films?
Well, they have, these four have something in common. Besides being parody,
are they all directed by the same person, or who became more famous later?
No.
Are they all Pete Smith? No, that's not Pete Smith. No, you better follow.
Okay.
Tell me
what they are was they were videotapes that Macaulay Culkin has lined up to watch in Home Alone 2 in New York.
Okay. That's very good.
Four titles just sitting there, and I thought, I got to write that one down.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Okay, that's it for this week.
Thanks, Big Radul. Call in anytime.
I have a guess on the silent actors, but I think I need Kira's help. I think the movie's The Piano.
That's one of them.
It's Harvey Keitel and...
It's a woman. It's Holly Hunter or the younger woman.
It's Holly Hunter.
Yeah, okay. Nice.
All right, good. All right. And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. All right. Let's do this one because it involves writing. So I have an opening question followed by a list. An enterotoxin produced by a comma-shaped gram-negative bacillus causes what infection of the small intestine that, in a 1985 Colombian novel, did not stop cases of romance, marriage, and promiscuity?
Once more, yeah. I don't know. What are we looking for?
An enterotoxin produced by a comma-shaped gram-negative bacillus causes what infection of the small intestine that, in a 1985 Colombian novel, did not stop cases of romance, marriage, and promiscuity?
Cholera. Loving
That's
the time
right.
of cholera.
That's exactly correct. So I have some... This is a little game calling
That's a good idea.
Art of Suffering, and I'm going to give you some fake diseases, and you tell me what movie, TV show, or piece of literature.
Okay. These are all names of fake diseases.
Fake diseases. All so right. get ready to write.
And they're all in works of art.
Yeah, so I'll just pick a few of them.
All right.
How many will there be?
Not too many. I'll do eight.
Okay.
So we'll start off with a long one. Uromycetitis poisoning.
And this could be from a movie or a book, doesn't...
Or a TV show.
Correct.
So, uromycetitis poisoning, brain cloud, plague of insomnia, the Red Death, Lampington disease. Threw that in for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know that. I don't get a disease.
I know you know that. Bendai syndrome.
Bendai?
Bendai.
Is that a person's name?
I believe it is, actually, but it's B-E-N-D-I-I, pronounced Bendai. Let's do dragon pox.
Dragon pox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And for me, I'll do a bonitis.
Well, I only have a shot at one of them at all. The Red Death, isn't that Edgar Allan Poe's The Mask of the Red Death?
It is.
All right. Couldn't be lower
just
hanging.
Just the plague.
Yeah.
Lampington's disease was named by Sir Trevor Lampington in the movie called Last Holiday, which is an extremely good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it, with Alec Guinness.
Oh, and, as opposed to Queen Latifah? Are we backing
not,
on
no,
the Queen
No,
no,
we're doing
version?
The 1950 British version. And he thinks he's dying of Lampington's disease, but he's actually not. And yes, so that's what that's from. 1950 British film.
Yes. So we still have Bendai syndrome, dragon pox. I'll tell you, Bendai syndrome is television. Dragon pox is both literature and movies. The plague of insomnia is literature. Brain cloud is a movie. And then both bonitis and uromycetitis poisoning, those are both TV.
Brain cloud sounds kind of familiar.
It's a great movie.
That's not Idiocracy, is it?
It's not.
All right. All right.
Yeah. Are any of them ER or
no?
T- okay.
No, no,
these are more.
I think they tried
frivolous.
To use more legit diseases in those.
I got Red Death, and I'm done.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Fred. Can you hear me?
Hi, you can hear you, yes.
Okay, so let's see. Bonitis, I think it's The Simpsons.
Oh, you are so close.
Oh.
Okay, well then I don't have it.
it's the same creator.
But what's it from?
Oh, Futurama?
Futurama, yeah.
All right.
Futurama, okay.
No, the caller doesn't get credit, does he?
No, well,
it was a tag team.
No,
tag team.
But Leonardo DiCaprio in Revenant, didn't he have no speaking lines and won an Academy Award?
He did not. He did have speaking lines.
He spoke.
And he did speak.
Yeah.
He did win, but he said something. Yeah.
Before he
was
silent. Okay,
I have a couple of Beatles lyrics questions because I'm reading a book called Beatles Lyrics, interestingly enough. The longest title of a Beatles song.
Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite?
No.
It's more words or more letters or both?
More words.
Wait, you said album or song?
Song.
Okay.
How many words will it be?
18.
18 words? Oh.
It's a long song.
Is it one that has a subtitle?
No.
And do we know it by a shortened version? That's an awful long title.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, the longest I can think of is, oh, everybody's got something to hide except me and my monkey?
Exactly.
Oh,
okay.
Nice. Nice. Very good.
Okay. The title, Come Together. This is not a porn title. Okay. Written for what political campaign? Originally, John Lennon wrote it for a political campaign.
For an American, for American politics?
California.
It seems like a long shot.
You mean the race itself was run in California, not a national race, just in California?
It was a campaign for governor.
How about a Jerry Brown?
Yeah.
No.
Well, no,
one
60s.
Of them.
Before Jerry Brown. Well, no, between Jerry Brown, I think.
Yeah, it could. Not, yeah, it had to be between them.
60s.
Yeah, was it a governor or a senator race?
Governor. He went to prison. They spoiled the campaign.
He went to prison? What?
How many more hints can I get?
Yeah. Tom Hayden?
No.
No. He didn't run for governor, did he?
I don't know. He might have.
Was it somebody
he ran against? He wanted to run against Ronald Reagan.
Is it somebody well known? Should we know this person?
Oh, yeah. You know him.
Timothy Leary.
Timothy Leary, yes.
Really?
He went to prison for what?
Did he escape? No. He escaped from jail, but he went to prison for.
I don't know. It wasn't LSD possession.
It's now legal.
Marijuana possession?
Marijuana possession.
Ah,
okay?
All right.
One more question.
Yes.
Dear Prudence, the title character, is 2 degrees of separation from the Tarzan movies of the 1930s.
Yeah, it's Mia Farrow's sister, and so that makes it Maureen Sullivan's niece.
Right.
Is that who it is, or whatever it is, you know? But Prudence
Maureen
is Mia.
Maureen O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, Prudence is Mia Farrow's sister.
Right.
What more do you want?
Maureen O'Sullivan played Jane.
Yeah.
In the
and what's the relationship of Prudence Farrell to Maureen O'Sullivan?
Maureen O'Sullivan is Mia Farrow's mother.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Okay. That was implied.
That's
2 degrees of separation back to the Beatles for Maureen O'Sullivan.
Right.
No, backward again.
Backward again.
Her co-star.
Johnny Weissmuller.
Was on the cover of what else?
Sergeant Pepper's.
Sergeant Pepper, yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right.
That was a lot of work. And, Lori, I did not say the score of the Super Bowl.
All right.
It's my high school friend.
Thank you.
That's our West Virginia fan club, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Professor Emeritus Dabo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go first.
This is Pita Taufatafua's second Olympics. Oh, that's right. I got that right. He competed in the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio and is now in the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. What are his two Olympic sports? And we are looking for both of them still. And then fake diseases. We're still looking for Bendai syndrome, dragon pox, plague of insomnia, brain cloud, uromycetosis poisoning. I think that was it.
I'm way behind the question department. I just have what event in 2014 was the first winter? What Winter Olympic event in 2014 allowed women to compete in it for the first time?
All right. And last three actors to win Acting Academy Awards could be in any acting category. For a performance with no dialogue, there are three. And we do have Holly Hunter from The Piano and Jane Wyman from Johnny Belinda, and there's one left on that
list. Did Javier Bardem win anything for The Diving Bell and The Butterfly?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And I think it's your turn, Lori.
Okay. This is, I think 2 weeks ago, Amazon announced its 20 finalists for, they're building a new headquarters, and provide about 50,000 jobs. So the competition has been heavy. They have announced 20 finalists. I want to know which four of them are in the smallest cities. So of the 20 Amazon.com finalists, which four of them? The biggest ones are New York, Los Angeles, Toronto. Denver's not in the four smallest. It's eighth. So Denver's on the list. But these are all smaller than that.
Pittsburgh one?
Yeah, yeah. Pittsburgh's number, the second smallest.
All right.
Give yourself a bell on that. Yeah, looking for three more.
Mm-mm. Something in Ohio, but I don't know if it's in the small city or
Columbus is on the list, but it's not one of the
it's
smallest.
It's not one of the smallest cities?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. There wasn't much that was in the far west, if I recall.
Well, the purpose was partly to distribute the jobs and put them on the East Coast. So the only one in the west is Los Angeles, and the rest are Midwest or in the
East. Was there something in West Virginia?
No.
How about Omaha?
No.
Okay.
Neither one. I'm checking. I have the whole list here. Yep. So Pittsburgh was the second smallest. I'm looking. There's one smaller, and then I'm looking for the next two. And we'll leave it at that. These are the cities that Amazon has announced are the finalists to put their new headquarters or their new other headquarters.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and do a question here. All right. I have the 10 most popular literary-based first names for babies in the U.S. These are the 10 most popular literary-based first names for babies in the U.S. And there's one anomaly on this list in that it is actually a literary character's last name. So they're using a last name as a first name, but all the others are real first names. So again, these are the 10 most popular, currently, the 10 most popular literary-based first names for babies in the United States.
So I want some clarification. What literary base? Is it a character's name or an author?
It's a character's name from a book. No author's name.
And won't they be common names? So if it's a name like James, would we know like James and the Giant Peach? Or could it just be...
Yeah, well, you know, they're not weirdo names.
No, but will all of them stand out as, oh, that's a literary name?
Yes, yes. Okay. They're all easily identifiable as literary
names. So it wouldn't be a name like James.
Like, you know, Romeo.
Okay.
Well, what about Emma?
That's not one of them.
Does Emma count
Emma
as
is,
Emma?
No.
Jane Austen's
that
Emma
is passed doesn't. Into okay. the more...
I thought Emma was still in the top five.
Oh, it's
yeah,
so popular,
but,
oh, but the literary
it is
part.
Not... Most people who name their children Emma don't say, oh, Emma, from Jane Austen.
Holden, Catcher in the Rye.
Holden is
nice.
Right. Yes, okay.
And it's a mix of male and female?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. Right, yes, Holden is one. So again, these are the 10 most popular literary-based first names for babies currently in the United States.
And how many of them are from Twilight?
All of them.
Oh, well, I think Katniss is actually now a popular name. So no. Katniss.
Mm-mm.
What are the Twilight names? I've just lost her name now.
You're looking at the wrong person.
Oh, my gosh.
I was working on the names in the piano. I couldn't get those.
Bella.
Bella is one.
There we go.
All right, there
nice.
You go. Okay, so you have Holden and from Catcher in the Rye.
What's the name of the characters in 50 Shades of Grey? Are those
that
here?
Is not in there. No, no.
I'm counting that as lit.
And remember, as I said, one of them is the anomaly in that it is the actual last name of a character, a famous literary character.
Darcy.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Caulfield.
No.
Okay.
You know where he got that name from his two favorite actors?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, William Holden and Joan Caulfield. That's
is it
yeah.
True?
No, he said that.
I didn't know. That's great.
Yeah,
yeah. So we got Holden and Bella. We're looking for eight more. That's good.
Right.
Going to be modern.
I would guess probably something from The Great Gatsby. Maybe what was it?
Jay.
No, but that's too normal. I'm wondering if maybe Gatsby, but no, that's...
But I'm trying to... Aren't those too old for people naming their kids now?
But a movie came out, so... Yeah.
Are some of them that old, like from the 20s and 30s?
Yes, and they're older than that.
Because there could be like Franny and Zoe or...
Some of them are identifiable as only from this particular work, right. You know.
How about Zoe?
No.
All right, that's a good guess.
From what?
Franny and Zoe.
Franny and
the
Zoe.
The Salinger book, yeah.
That's not, that wasn't a big, like, huge popular success.
No, but the name Zoe is pretty common. Yeah. Not spelled like it's spelled in the book.
But don't they say Zoe? Really?
I actually don't know.
I think
I always,
Zoe,
I taught
Franny
it
and
as
Zoe.
Zoe.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Like
I apologize to all my former students.
Doesn't Zoe Deschanel also spell her name
Zio.
Same way? Z-O-E-Y.
No, it's Z-double-O in
right.
the book. So
I think it's like a Dutch double O where it's
she's
still
double O.
No, it's just a plain double O.
She's double O-E-Y, right, in the book.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
yeah,
Deschanel
yeah.
is...
And that's
well,
Z-O-E.
We're getting two off here. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Leave these out for the...
Anyway, okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Well, on the subject of names, how about, say, Lolita?
Ha. That's yours.
No.
Or Frankenstein.
No.
Doctor.
Scarlet.
Yes, Scarlet.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Still, yes.
How about Potter?
No.
All right.
Although you didn't guess Hermione.
Oh.
I'm going to guess Hermione.
No. He just guessed Harry.
No.
Yeah.
Because that's a very common name.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Women for the first time in the Winter Olympics. How about biathlon?
No. They're still not in it, according to what I read.
Dang. The Tonga dude. he did judo in Rio.
Not quite.
Jiu-jitsu?
Nope.
Karate.
Nope. No, you're so almost there.
Oh,
quilting.
No, it's what?
Taekwondo.
There you go. Right. Yeah, yes. Okay. Taekwondo.
And in South Korea, is he doing the luge?
He is not.
Or bobsledding?
Nope.
Skeleton?
Nope.
Free skating?
No, although his event is freestyle, but no.
All right, I'm not going to bother. Valentine presents, have they've all been given?
They have. I think they're all gotten now. Yeah.
Because I was thinking like kitchen gadgets or weaponry.
No.
That got you laughs, Sparky.
Yeah. Matt, yeah, you better not be giving that to Maddie.
Yeah. She's expecting something a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question for you. It was from a few weeks ago that Buchanan gave. What comes next in the list? And this has to do with the Oscars. Joyce Heath.
Heath?
Heath.
Okay.
Anne Held. O'Lan. Julie Marsden. What comes next?
Scarlett O'Hara.
But of course.
Joyce Heath is Betty Davis in Dangerous, and O'Lan is Louise Rainer in The Good Earth, and
Anne Held is
Louise Rainer in The Great Ziegfeld, and
Julie Marsden
is Jezebel.
The characters' names of best actors, so that's
Betty
good.
Davis, yeah.
And any of those also on the list for literary?
No. Mm-mm.
Scarlett.
Okay,
well,
we're
got Scarlett.
Jezebel, how about that? No.
Not Jezebel, no.
That's along with Lolita.
Jezebel was a bad person in the...
Right.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's naming their daughter Lolita or Jezebel.
Right.
Okay. We're done.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
And, the two numbers to join us here are area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. It is your turn, Kara.
Stockholm's Hotel Rival is owned by Benny Anderson, who has a prior history with what group?
ABBA.
Yep.
Even I know that.
Yeah. See? We've unleashed the rock and roll monster.
I haven't been to the ABBA Museum yet, though. There is an ABBA Museum in Stockholm.
You haven't been?
No, I haven't.
Next time.
That's his next trip.
You have another?
Would you like another?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the Sunland Pub in the Limpopo province of South Africa is built into the hollowed-out trunk of a 1,000-year-old Adansonia digitata, a species of tree that goes by what common name?
Digitata.
Say it one more time.
The whole thing or just the...
Well, just the...
The Adansonia digitata.
Is better known by...
Better known by what name? South African tree. With
the
a trunk...
The baobab.
That is absolutely correct.
There.
What was it?
The baobab.
Oh.
It's that kooky-looking tree that looks like it's upside down.
Oh,
that's a good,
all right.
Good hint.
All right. Okay. Laurie, do you have some quick question?
This is quick enough. Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri is nominated for Best Picture. As far as I could see, there's only three other movies that have been nominated for Best Picture that have a state name in the title. I'm not counting Mr. Smith Goes to Washington because that's not the state name in that one. What are they?
Nominated?
Nominated.
My Own Private Idaho?
Say it again?
My Own Private Idaho?
Wasn't nominated.
No? Okay.
That's a good question.
That is a good guess. So once again, the three movies with state names in them that were nominated for Best Picture. That's what we're looking for.
New York, one of them?
No.
Okay. All right. I'd think about it.
Okay.
And
Sparky, call back.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Mark in Sausalito.
Hi, Mark.
A wild stab at the eight names in the Academy nominations. Was Oklahoma nominated?
It was?
No.
No, it was not.
I don't
nominated.
Think it was. Not
it
for
was
not Best nominated. Picture.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in that case, I have a Winter Olympics history question for you.
Okay.
For the eighth Olympic Winter Games, that's the 1960 Winter Olympics in Squaw Valley, California, who was named chairman of the pageantry committee and produced both the opening and closing ceremonies?
Walt Disney.
Is that right?
Excellent, of course.
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah. Double bell.
Very good.
He also produced all the victory ceremonies for each event right. and the Olympic torch relay.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Goodbye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in wherever I'm at.
Okay.
Hey, the women first in 2014, was that ice hockey?
No.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, it's a great guess, but they played before that.
Oh, did you get the Tafa Tafua?
Oh, we're still looking for yet? His winter sport, yeah.
Oh, you said it was freestyle, right?
It's a freestyle, his
Snow Angel.
No, probably not.
All right, let's see.
He didn't make the finals.
the four smallest cities, how about Indianapolis?
No, Indianapolis is way bigger than these cities. It's on the list, but it's near the top, actually.
Shoot. How about Newark?
Newark's number one is the smallest city with 281,000. Very good.
Got a bell. Let's see. Did you get Euromycetysis?
Not yet. You bet you're about to tell me what it is.
Yeah, and I've got it. It's Seinfeld.
It is. The parking garage episode.
Yes. So what was the brain one?
Brain cloud?
Brain cloud. Was that part of a list of other maladies?
I don't. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie, but I don't think so. I think it's.
Oh, it's
on
a movie.
Its own.
No, so it's
this one's a
not
movie.
The one. Not the one I'm thinking. The other list. Other. I've got some other ones on the list that I can give you, which are Dandy Fever,
Dandy,
and Poor Man's Gout, and the Staggers.
This is a longer list than I do.
Oh. Housemaid's Knee. This was all a part of one list and one a TV show.
Well, yeah. Housemaid's Knee is a real thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like are these all reasons that Mrs. Funk. Epstein excused Epstein?
No. These were all Abe Simpson. Simpson from The Simpsons. Abe Simpson, old maladies.
Oh.
Let's see. Popular literature first names. How about Heathcliff?
No.
Oh.
Not met anyone named Heathcliff in a long time.
Well, Heath. There are some Heaths.
Well, maybe.
Kylo?
No.
No, I did see that on a list. But that's becoming a popular name
is
for
it?
Whatever reason.
It hasn't quite reached the 10 yet.
No,
actually.
Yeah. About Jeeves?
Jeeves, no.
Not many Jeeves around.
Oh, well. Yeah. All right. That's all I've got.
Rocky?
I'll ask. Who were Balboa.
Yeah.
Let's see. The first. Who were the first two actors to be cast as the leads in Blazing Saddles?
Oh, well, Richard Pryor was definitely one of them.
Right.
And someone was before Gene Wilder?
were these people?
Yes, and they actually shot with him. They actually used him for like a week or so before Mel Brooks fired him.
So these are people hired and then not in the final draft.
Right. Yeah, and they actually shot. Mel Brooks hired this actor because he had seen him on stage playing a drunk in L.A. in some stage play. And then he had him on set for a week, and then he had to fire him because he realized that he actually was a drunk.
Right.
And he replaced him with, is that the Gene Wilder character?
Gene Wilder, yeah, that's the Gene Wilder role.
What? Can you give me one other film this guy was in?
Ooh, I cannot. I'm sorry. I
but he's well known?
I'm sure Dana knows.
Interesting. Gosh. Wendell Corey.
No.
he was an alcoholic. That's why I said
Irwin Corey.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Corey, yeah.
I don't know.
Was that Gig Young?
Really?
Oh, maybe I did read that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Point. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to, young.
Well, it's hard to see him in that part.
Yeah.
Won an Academy Award, right, for They Shoot Horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll ask one other. What was Stanley Kubrick? He only won one Oscar. What was it for?
Was it for a screenplay?
No.
It wasn't for,
was it for directing? No.
No, not for directing.
Not for screenplay. Cinematography.
Nope.
Was it a voted on one or an honorary?
It was a voted on.
Is it maybe for music?
Nope.
Okay.
So it wasn't for cinematography, it wasn't for screenplay, and it wasn't for direction.
Editing?
It was for 2001.
Editing?
Oh, that's good.
No?
Yeah.
Good guess, yeah.
Sound, maybe?
Nope. Getting closer, though.
Visual effects?
Visual effects. Yeah, makes sense. Effects, surprisingly enough.
That's his only point.
Good.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Appreciate
Adios.
It. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, hi. This is Carol in San Francisco.
Hi, Carol.
And Brain Cloud is from a wonderful movie called Joe versus the Volcano.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Roger Ebert loved it. And yes,
it was
you are absolutely
great. I also have the lyrics to a song. I'm wondering if you guys know what this came from. Do you have time for it?
Yeah, as long as they're not really long.
Let's sing it.
It's Robinson Crusoe is not so far away from worldly cares.
I know that line.
Dude.
It's familiar. You want to hum it a little?
You don't want to hear me humming.
What's the line that comes after it?
Well, I'll give you another line.
Yeah.
They will thrive on, keep alive on nothing but kisses. Yeah, you got the tune.
Oh, man.
How old is this song?
I think from the 20s.
All right. Now it sounds a little more familiar to me. Could you give the two lines once more, please?
Robinson Crusoe is not so far from worldly cares. They will thrive on, keep alive on nothing but kisses.
Huh. Is this from a show?
Oh, it may be. I don't really know.
And it's from
I've heard two versions of it.
It's by a famous composer, isn't it?
It is?
I'm asking you.
I think my husband said yes.
I do.
What's the tune?
Nothing but kisses.
One version is rather quick. The other one is by Perry Como. It's very soft and sweet.
Oh, Blue Room.
Yes.
That's it.
Rogers and Hart.
Yeah. Very nice.
Okay.
Good teamwork.
All right.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. Thank you.
I think it's going to be on Music in the Hearts of Space coming up. There's going to be a version
of it. Don't ever play Blue Room on Music in the Hearts of Space. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, hi. Let's see. State names in movies that are nominated.
Mm-hmm. That's
good. How about Paris, Texas?
Not nominated, but you made me think. But I don't think it was nominated.
All right. How about popular names from literature?
Right.
Sherlock.
No.
No. Okay, and Dragonpox has to be from Harry Potter.
You are absolutely correct.
Okay, there you go. That's it. Thank you.
How about Watson for the literary name?
Mm-hmm. How about Nebraska is one of the Best Picture nominees?
It is.
All right.
Very nice.
Good.
2013. Good. That's the most recent.
So there's only one left.
No, we've got none. That was the first one we got.
I gave
Ebbing, Missouri, and there's right. three more.
There's three more.
Yeah, and now Nebraska.
Old are the other ones?
One is really old. I'll put it like this. One is before 1940, and one is after 1980.
Feeling Minnesota?
No.
No.
Not nominated.
Okay.
Before 1940.
Yeah. I'll even, with the clock running like this, I'll say it's before 1935.
It has a state name in it.
Yeah. And you'll be the only one in the room who's heard of it or seen it, I believe. The other one's well-known. The one from the 80s is well-known. It's a southern state.
Right.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
So the last disease, Bendai syndrome, afflicted Sarek in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Correct.
There you go.
Thank you for giving the correct part of the franchise too. I appreciate that.
Sure. I know you're hit for time, so I'll pass on the questions this week.
Well, if you have a quick question, it's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I have some mnemonics. I was wondering if you could figure out what they.
I'm terrible at them, but maybe Kira and
okay. Yeah. I'll give you a couple of the easier ones. Holmes, H-O-M-E-S.
That's the Great Lakes,
yes.
Huron, Ontario, oh. Michigan, Erie, and Superior.
Good job.
Yep. And then all boys should come home, please. That's more of a classical one, I guess.
All boys should come home, please. That's a long one.
That's familiar. We need a hint with the time.
Yeah.
I think royalty.
Oh,
are these queens? No,
of a sort.
Queens of a sort. No,
those are the wives of Henry VIII.
Oh, very nice.
Eridon, Boleyn, Seymour, Cleves, Howard, and Parr.
Right. Good job. All right, we better go.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, John from Oakland.
Hi, John.
I was thinking Patty Duke for Helen Keller.
No dialogue. She actually did have a little dialogue. She actually says a word here and a word there.
Water?
Yeah. Ball. She says ball and water
remember.
And blah, blah, blah. But no, that's not that.
Oh, okay. And is Bo Blutz a made-up disease that's fictional? From I Love Lucy?
What was it?
Say it again.
Was a fictional disease part of the one of the questions?
I had a list of diseases, but nothing from I Love Lucy, I'm afraid.
No. Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You very much. Bye-bye.
Mississippi Burning.
Yes.
Okay.
Mississippi Burning. Very good.
Good.
Thank
All
you.
All right, good. The one before 1940.
It's 1928. How's that?
This is so
Second
on
year of the Oscars.
There's a state name in it. And was Hawaii wasn't nominated for
No,
special,
it was not.
It? Huh. Okay. 1928. All right. And next call.
Oh. Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is Teresa from The Mission.
Hi, Teresa.
The actor with no dialogue who won an Academy Award would be the lead actor from The Artist, Jean Dujardin.
He didn't win the Academy Award, though.
Oh. Mm-mm. I have this like weird memory of him accepting something.
No, well, he might have accepted for somebody else, but he didn't win.
Okay. Thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Time to clean up here. What have we got? Kira?
Was it somebody else from The Artist?
No.
Okay, good. Mm-mm. All right. The other sport, let me find it. Right. The other sport of Pita Taufatafua was cross-country skiing. That's what he's competing on in this Olympics.
Oh.
The plague of insomnia is from 100 years of solitude. And I think that's all I had.
The movie we're missing is in Old Arizona, 1928.
Oh,
the two other smaller cities that Amazon was going to were Miami and Raleigh. They joined Newark and Pittsburgh. And the event that women joined in 2014 was ski jump, believe it or not.
All right. Excuse me. The last actor to win Acting Academy Award with no dialogue, John Mills in Ryan's Daughter, played a deaf mute. And the most popular literary-based names for children currently in the U.S., Scarlet, Landon, that's from A Walk to Remember, Bella, Hazel, that's from A Fault in Our Stars, Sawyer, as in Tom Sawyer, Daisy, as in Daisy Buchanan, Finn, as in Huckleberry Finn, Juliet, as in Romeo and Juliet, Holden, as in Holden, and Rhett, as in
Rhett?
Gone with the Wind. Yeah.
No one's named Rhett.
Anyway, if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, and Lori Fisher Professor Emeritus, I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to David Lotulip and Steve Wilcott. And have a great week, everybody. Have a great Valentine's Day. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.